Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. We're turning to Judges, and it's the chapter 6 as we take up again our study of the pictures of Christ that are found in the life of Gideon, one of the great prophets that God raised up to deliver Israel from her enemies. I might say that the success of the enemies came about as a result of Israel's backsliding, disobedience to God, and Israel's sin. There's always a price to pay for sin. Always a price to pay for sin. That's a lesson we never learn it. We never learn it. When you come to school here, there are things you will learn, and you'll carry them with you the rest of your life. The tables, for instance, the multiplication tables. You'll be able to multiply sums in your old age. When you're as old as me, you will still be able to say 2 times 2 is 4. There are things you will learn and you won't forget. There's things we never seem to be able to learn, and one of them is that whenever we sin, whenever we disobey God, there's a price to be paid. When we're tempted by the devil, tempted by sin, the first thing that is wrought in our heart is a deception, that we can do this sinful thing and get away with it. That's the first thing. Because you see, we wouldn't sin unless, first of all, we're convinced that we will be able to do this and get away with it. People who rob and steal and break the law, they do so because they're convinced that they'll be able to do it and get away with it. If they were convinced that the day after they commit this crime, they're going to be arrested, they'll be brought to court, and they'll have years in jail. If they were convinced of that, they wouldn't do it. But being convinced that they'll get away with it, they do it. And that's how it is with us. The devil works that deception upon us. And our own nature works that deception. And that's why Israel was in sin, or why Israel was in trouble on so many occasions during the period that is recorded for us in the book of Judges. And God raised up men to deliver Israel from its troubles. And one of those men was Gideon. Now Gideon was one of the chief of the judges. As far as I'm concerned, there's quite a section of God's word given over to recording his exploits. And I think that would suggest that he was an important man, and God would have us to study what is said about him. Now, as I've said, we're looking at him particularly as he reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read some verses from this chapter, please, just to bring us to the topic that we particularly want to look at today. We're looking at verse 11. Please. Verse 11 of chapter 6 of Judges. And there came an angel of the Lord. Now that's a wonderful title that you will come on in the Bible. The word angel, you will know, means messenger. So there came a messenger of the Lord. And I think that in most instances in the scriptures where you read about the angel of the Lord, you're actually reading about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the messenger of the Lord. He's the messenger of the Lord. That's why he's called in John chapter 1, the Word of God. The Savior has brought to us the Word of God. That makes him a messenger. So I think that we should bear that in mind, that this is who it is that has come to visit with Gideon. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which is in Ophrah, that pertaineth unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon thrashed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Now is that not confirmation of the identity of the angel and the Lord? The word Lord there, if you look at it, is in small capitals. And that's very important for you to notice, because every time you see the word Lord printed like that, you have behind that word the wonderful name Jehovah, Jehovah. And we might read that then, and Jehovah looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites have not I sent thee. So who was talking to him there? Who was the angel of the Lord? Jehovah. That's who it was. It was our Savior himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, appearing unto Gideon, and here, as it were, ordaining him to be the deliverer of Israel. Now, we've looked at a number of likenesses so far between Gideon and the Lord Jesus, and the one I want us to look at now, and it will bring to an end this first stage of our study of Gideon. The point I want to look at today is the fact that Gideon was divinely appointed as the deliverer of Israel. And of course, that shows to us and brings home to us the fact that there is this parallel, this picture of the Lord Jesus, for he was divinely appointed. Look at what verse 14 says. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? So there can be no doubt about this matter. Gideon didn't take into his own head, I'm going to build a crusade against these Midianites and try to save my land. Didn't come from him at all, but rather, the Lord appointed him and told him, I am making you the deliverer of Israel. What a wonderful day that was when he was thus appointed. And of course, so it was with the Lord Jesus. What does it say? And Gideon was wonderfully set aside by the Lord. He was set aside by the Lord, just like the Savior, set aside for the great work of deliverance. The Savior is called the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you know what that word Christ means, don't you? It means anointed, which we, I think, could understand as appointed. When they anointed David king over Israel, they were appointing him king over Israel. When they anointed the high priest, they were appointing him to the position of the high priest. And likewise, when prophets were anointed, they were appointed to the office. And so, when we think of the Lord Jesus, the anointed one, we're thinking of the one who has been appointed to the task, of being the Savior of God's elect. Joseph was told, for it was always the duty of the one who was the head of the house to name a child. And Joseph was told that when Mary would have the baby Jesus, that's the name he was to be given. Normally, Joseph might have called him after himself or after his father. You know how it is. We all have names that link us to our relatives. Our mother, our father, our grandfather, grandmother, or someone of that nature. And Joseph may well have been following the same tradition, but he was told, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So the Lord Jesus was appointed to the task of saving sinners. He said of himself in Luke chapter 19 and the verse 10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost. So just as Gideon was appointed by the Lord to be the deliverer of Israel, so in a much more wonderful way, the Lord Jesus from all eternity was God's appointed Savior. God's appointed Savior. Now there's another parallel here. We're told that Gideon was to be wonderfully fitted for the task. He wasn't of himself really equipped for the task of delivering Israel. And you can see in the words of Gideon that he felt that to be so. You see what it says here? We're looking, please, at the verse 15. Gideon has just been told that he's been appointed to be the one to save Israel. And his answer was, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. Two things he points out. He points out his poverty. Well, if you're going to run an army, you need money, don't you? And that's immediately what he was thinking of when he was told he was going to deliver Israel. Well, I'll need an army. And that means money, because soldiers will have to be paid and food provided for them, etc., etc., etc. And he says, my family's poor. How can I do this? And then also, he says, I am the least in my father's house. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. I'm not fitted to be a deliverer. Who am I? What am I? But the answer of the Lord is very important. Look at what it says in the verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. That answers all of Gideon's objections and fears and doubts. I will be with thee. I'll supply your every need. I'll see to it that whatever is required for victory, you'll have it. I'm with you. I'm with you. And you shall smite the Midianites as one man. Now that reduces the odds substantially. The Midianites became as only one man. Gideon wasn't going to have such a difficulty then, because as we soon learn, Gideon was a fighting man. He was a man of fighting spirit. And to go up against one man would have meant very little to Gideon. Therefore, God shows to him that because I'm with you, the Midianites will be just like one man, and the victory will be yours. Boys and girls, our Savior was in a very similar fashion, wonderfully fitted for his task. Now, the task he had was much greater than that which faced Gideon. Therefore, the fitting, the preparing of the Lord Jesus was much more glorious than that which took place in the experience of Gideon. I'm going to read some verses to you, and I want you to listen to them. The first verse I want to read is in Acts chapter 10 and the verse 38. And we read, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, particularly note the phrase, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus was anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost. Go a little further. And here we're in Isaiah, and the chapter 11, and the verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of Jehovah, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. You look at that sentence, there are seven titles given to the Spirit of God. And that being so, you have, resting upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the sevenfold fullness of God's grace. The Lord Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit in a manner and to a degree above any of the servants of God. There was given unto him the fullness of the Holy Spirit to undertake the task that God had appointed him to. Another verse, it's in Isaiah as well, chapter 61, and the verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That's the great work of the Lord Jesus. Look at that. You study that verse for yourself, and you'll find comfort there. Because I would say that within those few words, you have every ill, every woe, every grief, every sorrow that man ever suffers touched upon. And the Lord Jesus was sent to bind up, like a nurse binds up a wound. He was sent to heal, sent to strengthen, sent to bless. And in order to undertake that great task, he was anointed with the power of God. So in a more wonderful way, what God did for Gideon was done for the Lord Jesus. Gideon was prepared for the work God had given him. And the Lord Jesus was wonderfully prepared for the great task of saving sinners. I want to quickly just touch on two more things, but my time is gone. We read here where it was that the angel of the Lord met with Gideon. We're told that he was thrashing wheat. Verse 11, his son Gideon thrashed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianite. You will see particularly drawn to your attention the sonship of Gideon. He was acting as a good son. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under the an oak, which was in Ophrah that pertaineth unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon thrashed wheat by the winepress. We're looking at Gideon the son, and as a good son, he was laboring for his father. He was laboring for his father. One of the very earliest pictures we have of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Luke is in chapter 2. You remember when he was a boy of 12? He came up to Jerusalem with Mary his mother and with Joseph, the man who appeared to others to be his father. And then, of course, for a time, Mary and Joseph headed home and left the Lord Jesus in Jerusalem. Finally, after 3 days, they found him in the temple. And they were cross. Mary was cross with the Lord Jesus, as if it was his fault. They had left him, and he didn't move from where he had been left, but rather spent those 3 days in the vicinity of the temple. And when Mary scolded him, the Savior most solemnly answered her, not in any way cheeky, boys and girls, but most solemnly he answered her, and he said, "Wist ye not, or know ye not, that I must be about my father's business?" What was he doing? Well, he was like Gideon. He was thrashing wheat. He was beating out the truth of the Word of God, the seeds of the Gospel. He was beating them out and distributing them there as he talked with the rulers of the temple and anyone else who was gathered to listen. Very similar act. And it marked the beginning of the Savior's life, and it showed the character of the Savior. He was one who was about his father's business, and that's how it was with Gideon. First time we see him, he's about his father's business. He was a diligent lad. Quickly, let me just close by saying that Gideon's ministry began with a very symbolic act. We read further down the chapter, we didn't read down that far, but we are told in the verse 25, "And it came to pass the same night," so it's the same day, he's just been appointed earlier in that day, "and some hours later, It came to pass that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of the rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. The first thing God set him to do was the overthrowing of idolatry that was standing right there on his father's property. Pull down the idol, pull down the altar, pull down the grove of trees that had been planted. Cut up the trees. Use the wood for a sacrifice. And the bullocks that you brought, let that be the sacrifice. How did the Lord Jesus begin his ministry? Well, if you read in John's Gospel, the chapter 2, you will read there in the verses 13 through to 17 of the Lord Jesus going into the temple and overthrowing the tables of the money changers and rebuking them and saying, take all this out of my Father's house. It shouldn't be here. That's how he began his ministry. In a similar fashion to that of Gideon, a purging, a clearing of his father's house. It should be stated, boys and girls, that that's how the Lord Jesus ended his ministry. Because in Matthew 21, we find him back into the temple and doing the same again. You see, what he had purged out at the beginning of his 3-year ministry, men had brought back in again. So at the end of his 3 years, as he goes into the temple, there is the same rubbish brought in by men again to defile the house of God. And so the Savior ends his ministry as he began it. How faithful was the Lord Jesus? I don't think we can altogether say that about Gideon. But then, as I've already told you, every picture that we may find in the lives of men has always blemishes and marred by some of the failures and the shortcomings of those men. Gideon wasn't utterly faithful to the end, but the Lord Jesus was. How wonderful is the Savior we have. Unfailing. He'll never fail you. He'll never let you down. You can trust him entirely. Trust him entirely. May the Lord bless his word today to all of our hearts. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we can but look to thee to bless the words that have been spoken. May they carry weight in the hearts of the youngsters. May the seed be sown, and may good come of it. Bless our school today. Remember each person in it, the children, the teachers. We pray especially for any that need your healing touch. God have mercy. Answer prayer for us now in Jesus' name. Amen.